Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And thank you for listening. And got my throat feels a lot better, and I'm not sneezing and blowing wind and all that good stuff. Or blowing the wind, I'm talking about my throat and sneezing and coughing. I had a little bit of ailment last week when I did my interview with Phil Kosewski. Please do check that out. Yeah, I was doing it from Las Vegas, and while I was there, I guess I had a allergic reaction from the dust mites of Las Vegas. It was a little bit windy, and sometimes the dust does get to your throat. So, yeah, it sort of took me actually sort of like a few days to get over it. But anyway, I want to thank you all for listening again. And by the way, that intro was incorporated with from Masonic Temple song Blind from their album Follow Me. And I often reiterate, please do check out their site, myspace.com/MASTEM. And of course, they will be coming out sometime later this year, early next, and with some new vibes and new music. And of course, this is Andrew Fetter. Now, speaking of music and future shows, I am, by the way, having several guests I'm trying to line up. We've been tentatively putting things together. One of which I'm gonna, is a, unbelievable singer. I saw her actually playing temporary for another group. Hopefully I can get her on my show. We've talked basically, hopefully sometime maybe in November. Her name is Angie Mattson. You probably have heard her songs somewhere on the radios or somewhere, even her videos on MTV possibly or whatever. Do check her site out at AngieMattson.com. I will be playing at the close of one of her songs called Drive. Again, do check her site out. And also I'm going to have other, include besides Angie Mattson on my show. Hopefully I'm working on Janine Zabata. Hopefully she'll be coming on, working that out. And I have California Girls and several others, as well as other intriguing guests, not just musical guests, but guests that deal with many of the issues of today and tomorrow and yesterday, since time is not linear. But I do want to thank all of my past guests for coming on my show. Of course, you guys all listening in, and of course, my producers for producing my show. Do check out from my last show. It was quite intriguing. I had to re-listen it to myself, talking with Phil Kosewski about when his information regarding to his contactee from the Orions and that information of actually increasing our vibrational levels so that we have the ability to be able to maintain ourselves when in an encounter. I do have the links, so if anybody has them, I did post on my site, if you go to the archives, links to his site, so that you can actually see there are actual UFOs flying out and about in upper state New York. You check that, and of course, my past shows. And if you got any questions, of course, and comments, like I always say, do send me an email at flyingpigs@artlover.com, or if you have a MySpace, do contact me there as well at myspace.com/AndrewFetter. And speaking of which, I was, of course, in Las Vegas last week doing my book signing event for The Heretic, which is, of course, a sequel to When the Angels Have Risen. I'm doing a final book signing event again in Las Vegas tomorrow on Saturday. That's October 24th at 1 p.m. at Barnes & Noble on 8915 West Charleston. That's inside the Crossroads Commons Mall, and that's in Summerlin, part of Las Vegas, the west side of Vegas. So if any of you happen to be coming to Vegas or already are in Vegas, please do come on down. I'd love to meet new folks and talk, and it's that's just the way it is. It's fascinating hearing what people think and stuff like that. And of course, as usual, everybody's going, where the hell, when's your book spurt coming up? I see that posted there, like that little thing. That's, by the way, me coming on. That's the cover. The cover's slightly different than what you see on any images that I have posted, whether it's on MySpace or whatever. But it is planned to be released in 2010, approximately either January, February. That's where our target date is, and it looks like it's heading perfectly, as the universe is so perfect. Everything has its perfect timing, which I will get into shortly, but I do have to spill something that's been on my mind of lately, and I didn't really get into it too much in the past, because I was just watching and observing what the hell is damn going on. And people are going, what the hell is he talking about? Don't be make it so complicated. No, I'm not being trying to make complex. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. I'm talking, of course, everybody out there not in the United States who already has a sort of public option program or universal health care here in the United States. Unfortunately, we don't have such a privilege unless you happen to be a U.S. senator or a congressman. Then, of course, you have that privilege of having a public option. So it's sort of interesting now, and so I'm going to get into it, which is sort of like, I guess, my spiel about everybody knows that universal health care and our health care it's not equated to profit, and it should not be, of a humanitarian concern. It's actually moronic to put an equation of profits or money to be made in healthcare. In fact, it's sort of an oxymoron at its best. And to play such one, it would be simply moronic. People out there will post so many fear-facting things about possibly doing a public option, a governmental option, or whatever. Well, if it was so bad, then how about Medicare? Is that such a bad deal? They're so afraid they will throw out the red scare of socialism. But then everybody doesn't want to give up their Social Security now, do they? And what about, they talk about what socialism, and it's just a quasi-word from capitalism to socialism. Of course, I personally think we should move away from monetary system altogether. We wouldn't even have that problem. Of course, we have that ability. Of course, that was another show I spilled about, and also implementing free energy, which we do have the ability to implement, and that, again, would take away all concern, even in regards to our health care. And the monetary issues has become negligible or irrelevant. So, what really got me weird, I was seeing posting on Huffington Post the other day, actually it was an article about a Florida woman who is a victim of sexual abuse and was raped. It was called a precondition by several insurance companies, thus she was disqualified for her care. I read that and I was like, wow, now doesn't that put the epitome of private health care to what it is? I mean, you can see, I've seen commercials showing healthcare having an executive who's making billions, or let me put this in real terms, they're making millions of dollars a day. But one individual who needs something done, some emergency surgery or whatever, is denied or cut down or made to do a less corrected way only to save money, to save $100,000 or $200,000 or whatever. I mean, there's a term of profitability. And that's what I'm saying to you. It's the ugliness. It's the epitome of ugliness in our society. It's the epitome of ugliness within the humanity within the United States. You know, it becomes its fortitude. You know, and it comes to the fortitude of what our government in the United States is when people, including myself, went out and helped voice our opinions with a little check next to the names of those congressmen, senators, and of course the president, by voting for them, and those who have went out on the streets like myself, knocking on doors, making speeches, or whatever, calling, making phone calls, or whatever energy you employed to facilitate the electionability and the elections of the individuals who are now holding office, with their promise of a, at the time, universal health care or a public option. So this is my question. I mean, all I can say to those who perhaps listening in the United States, there will be a public option one way or the other. And what I mean by that is there will be a public option plan, a real public option plan, so that people can have choice of who carrier they have to apply to a governmental one as opposed to a private one. And the public one would be the same option that the United States senators, like Reid of the Democrats and, of course, the Republicans themselves have. That would be that public option. Or there's going to be a different kind of public option. The option, of course, that people are not going to be placated by all the little candy, your bullshit candy that's being thrown at the masses and telling you that thinking that you're going to subdue the masses was a bunch of bullshit, and continue on the same road, the same road of apathy. Oh, what can we do now? Well, we just pulled a fast one on the public again. That's not going to happen anymore because there's a new public option. The new public option will take place anyway if they do not choice, like there's, which I will get into. For every action, there's a reaction. And I'm not placating the one who's going out to do it. I'm just telling you the reality of what I see in future events. The reality is if the first public option, healthcare, is not implemented properly, then the reaction will be the karmic consequence of the public option of bringing a new style of government. And that, of course, I don't care how many National Guardsmen you have or how much lying you project on media or closing, trying to close down internet or circumvent internet use or whatever you try, it won't stop. The universe is going to continue on, and it's going one way. So the government has a choice in this matter. You can either walk and be diligent and have integrity and honor, or you can say, well, I've just got a new big booty of money from the insurance carriers, so I'm going to go take care of them. Well, you know what? One way or the other, there will be a public option, like I said. And that's all I have to say on that matter. The people have spoken, and the next time, they won't just speak, they will do. So, that's all I got to say about that. Now, there was a famous, there's something that was said by Buddha, and I'm going to quote it, of course. He said one time, all things appear and disappear because of the concurrence of causes and conditions. Nothing ever exists entirely alone. Everything is in relation to everything else. That's pretty fascinating. Very simplistic way of saying something, because, of course, simplicity is what's real. Some people try to make things more complicated than they are. And what does that refer to? It's showing how everything's just basically, everything's connected. No matter, and how universally connected and everything is bound to each other. Which is where the show is now, the theme of the show is about, today's show. that the universe is indeed perfect. God, I use the indeed lately. I use that in a little letter to somebody. Sometimes you use the same words over and over. I don't know why. But the universe is indeed, I would say, perfect. I mean, there are absolutely four given rules. Some people say there are no rules. Yes, I hate to say there are certain things that functionally happen, and they, no matter what you can say. And it's not nobody's views and nobody's right and wrong. This is just the way it is. It's like, I'm not going to argue with somebody and tell them my way, I think this way, or they think that way, when the sun rises in the rises in the east and sets in the west. If somebody to argue and says it doesn't, they would be, what would you say? Okay? This is not opinion. This is just laying out the rules. And these are the universal rules that have been consistently verified both in sciences as well as in esoterics. And the esoterics and all the dogmas concur in this. Even within the very dogmas of religion, they concur these four simple principles. Within quantum physics, they concur these four basic principles. And they are absolute and they are given. We will always exist in one form or another. That's rule number one. Or if you call it a rule or a fact or whatever. We all are connected in every which way to one another and every element in the universe. That's a fact as well. We have, if you want to look onto the atomic area, our atoms are connected to everybody else, the energy, the flow. When you die, you basically disintegrate. You lose 21 grams of your spirit. Where does that go? We're all made up of the exact same element of space, approximately 90-some-odd% space, even within our own areas, within their own molecular areas, within the cell, within the atomic areas. There's actually space of 90% space. We're all basically the same. It's like Einstein says, there's not space, it's all matter. An element and wave right now, which is quantum way of looking at it. But we all connect in one way or another and with every element in the universe. That's number two. Number three, and I've of course stated this earlier, for every action, there is a reaction. And that's, everyone knows that. Whatever you do, or whatever you say, or even think, for every action, there's reaction. So you can see how that unfolds no matter where we are and what our situations are. And as the our vortex, our area within humanity upon this planet changes, which is another issue, there is a reaction to it. People will react. Our DNA will react. There's an action, reaction, action, reaction. Our souls react. And you'll show how this relates to our karmic consequences as well. And then there's, of course, the consistency and the constant of change. For rule number four, if you call it fourth number fact. Things will always change. Things change. Change is growth. Everything evolves. No atom stays in the same place. No energy element stays in the same vortex. No thought pattern. A thought may go in one direction. It changed. It's consistently in movement. All things are in movement. That's why there's consistency of change. Everything changes no matter where situation is. There's change. If two people are together, things, circumstances can change for them to go to parks. But then things can, circumstances can change where they actually grow together and maintain a relationship. And know how to grow within that relationship. It takes a whole new course of what they would say, communication, which is a whole other thing. But essence, like I said, the universe is perfect. And this is often said even in Kabbalism, in the books in the realms of Raziel. This is also said amongst the many other esoterics. Within the Kabbalah, the universe is symbolized with the vortex or the otiyot of Esther, which is 10. 10, the perfection. Think how 10 is. Things are always divided in 10. 30, 40, 50, 10. It's also symbolic of the wheel, people, if you've probably seen in tarot, of the Wheel of Fortune, a 10. And it's the completion. Everything's perfect. I didn't say that it was created in 10. It is of 10. There's a difference. And of course, there's a, in Kabbalism, when they looked upon, there's a famous thing that when God looked upon all the universe and God created the universe with two hands, five and five, a two otiyot, it's referred to, two hands of utterances. That's like from light to dark, dark to light. Remember, out of darkness created light. So there's that symbiotic relationship that was manifested within the very essence of the universe. In all things in the universe, there is a duality, or more correctly, a symbiotic relationship that is more correct. The yin-yang, the dark light, masculine, feminine, all things have a symbiotic relationship, positive, negative. No, every action for a reaction. Things change. There is a constant figure, and no matter what you put it on within the universe, and this is another absolute, things are of a symbiotic relationship. Some people look at it as duality, but in reality, it is really a symbiotic relationship. No matter where you can see, it's always intertwined one to another. Even in time, even in dimensions, antimatter, matter. Then you go to different levels of dimensions, and there'll be a symbiotic relationships. They're consistent all through. The universe is perfect. And all elements are interactive in this symbiotic relationship, one way or another, because they're, what, connected, like I said. So it's from the higher understandings, from your higher self, is understanding to be aware of these. It is the real, it is the reality, that the world, the universe, is absolutely perfect. I know people go look down below and go, well, look all the stuff that's happening here. I'll get into that. But in reality, that indeed is perfect. It is an illusion to perceive the opposite. The separation, the divide, it's purely an illusion. I mean, if you even look at people who are falling within the Christian faith or whatever, or read Bible or dogmas or whatever, and they get so caught up of whether man is from Adam and Eve, and it's really actually a story of the relationship of humanity within its universe. That's really this whole story of Bereshit, which is Genesis. In fact, it's fascinating that the whole emphasis of even in within Kabbalism and reading of the Zohar, more than half of it's talking about Genesis, the beginning, but, and is the one of them, which I will get, not now, but it was one of the very three elements of within what they call Yasod, the secrets within Kabbalism, which I will not get into now. It's called Bereshit, the very beginning. And Bereshit also means to create, the very creation, the very element, the beginning. So it's talking about the very essence of the how Adam related to, which is justifying humanity, not saying man is masculine, but relationship. And of course there's the Eve, which is the other relationship it's talking about, but I don't want to get into that. And of course, there's Lilith, and we all know that story. I don't want to get into that. It was, but the very beginning, the relationship with Adam and Eve within the realm of being in the Garden of Eden. Eden is part of is nature, the universe, and their relationship is really what's explaining the separation, the illusion of separation. When eating the apple, they had choice, but that choice did not separate them. The separation was they manifested amongst themselves by their own deception, by creating a having lack of integrity. It was their choice to separate themselves. It was nothing of a negative. So there's an illusion of separation. That Garden of Eden, the universe, has never been separated, but it's always part of us. It's an inside of us. Even inside, when they say when you go through certain levels, as you rise your vibrational areas within Kabbalism, and you rise into what they call the level of Adam, which is Adami, is level of before, even above the level of your vibration of even archangels. Because that's when you realize you become unified with the universe. And what I mean by unified is listening to the universe, that we are not separated. We're actually part of the universe. God and the universe are all one. Echad. I mean, it's said over and over and over in every, not just in Judaism or Kabbalism or Islam or, you know, every Buddhism, Taoism, Native American spirituality, all the Hopis, they all have the same common theme, and that's what it really is, that we are all connected. And yes, the universe is perfect. Now, I know some people are going to go, now, how can the world be so perfect with all the war and destruction, enslavement, and greed, and fear, and so on and so on and so on, with all these patterns, these products of our own, but these, in reality, are our own products that we've created by our separation of the universe, by separating our own, not listening to the universe. We've created a divide, an illusionary divide, and closed our hearts to what's out there. That is what is meant even when those who follow the dogma of Jesus, which is even within the scripture that nobody likes to talk about, it was in Thomas, where he talks about if it's within you and you don't have it, it's within you. If you don't find it, you'll surely die. Well, that's what it is. About humanity not realizing within your heart, realizing in your heart, so where you listen to, you're connecting to the universe, knowing that we are all part of the universe. We are all connected. It's called listening, not separation. And there's magnitudes of information out there. And that's where that information, people, you think you just get it from pushing a pencil, but it doesn't. Even Einstein did not get his information by sitting there going 3 + 3 + 7 divided by 98 or whatever. He didn't get it just by putting out on a chalkboard, pushing equations across the chalkboard. He got it by observing and then contemplating and then the visions, and then out of nowhere, you can say, came the information of how he thought of relativity. The same thing happened with Newton. Think about it. You think an apple fell on his head and boom? It was the idea. Where did this idea come from? It came out from the universe into himself. All, you'll listen over and over, from Edison to any scientist to artists to writers to anybody even creating a business, creating any element within their lives, anything, even the carpenter, or figuring something logically, the figure out how to fix a machine. You know, you can think of it logically, but when you have to come up with an idea, wait, how could I go do this? Oh, and out of nowhere you come up with a new idea to do it? Where did that come from? It's not necessarily you have to find this information in a book. People ask, where do you get your information? Do you need all the time from, can you substantiate, did you read this book or that book or this book? Did you get this from this guy or this guy? Do you realize all this information is already out there? All the information around the universe is already out there. It's when we receive it and acknowledge it and gather it in ourselves, we project it in words. Our souls, our entities, our true selves already know this information. It's re-listening to that information and then going, oh. people are slowly gathering this information and reconsisting it into themselves. This is what's happening with what some people call the 2012 effect, or what's happening as time progresses. This is what saying people in my past shows have consistently said over and over, the same way but different ways from different elements. You'll hear from people from, you know, from the David Wilcox to everybody else who have come out and who are very well known saying the same things that other people are saying, and it is not a coincidence. They're getting their information from where? Not necessarily from a book. They may get it from another person, for example. Of course, they should credit that source of information. But the source of the information is from where? Not a book. Where did the source book come from? You know, when somebody says, oh, this is written by God, it was, or the Bible, or inspired by, you know, what it really is, and they're trying to make the, and I don't want to get into the savior complex of the he, she, which is to me purely illogical in its reality. But if you look at the source and someone saying inspired, it's really the information from over there. Now, of course, people fabricate manipulated words around and da-da-da, which I don't want to get into, of dogmas, which is obvious in many books. But source of information. This is why the universe is absolutely perfect. And like I said, they're getting back to what people are saying, well, but what about the rape, more murder, enslavement, greed, so on and so on, which are products. Again, these are the symptoms of the cancer within the universe. This is what humanity has manifested its own calamities. For every action, there's a reaction. Like I said, the universe is absolutely perfect. That's what the wheel of fortune, you create up on one side of the wheel turns it around and gives it back to you. Maybe not in this lifetime, the next lifetime. Maybe somewhere down the line, it will come back. That's how the world works. It's so perfect. You know, in the cause of effect. The person who volunteers to create that and implement an act of violence or act of negativity. But then if we're all connected to each other, isn't that part of ourselves? You know, when a murder or a rapist occurs, isn't it a reflection of our own society? Isn't it really us? Somebody asked me about saying, I remember seeing on a posting said, hey, you know, there's this pedophile, you know, there's this thing they're bringing up because of the situation with Polanski and all, you know, vehemently, and he should, you know, and they talk about pedophile, cut him off and this and that. And but if you really look at it, isn't, if we're all connected, isn't that individual part of us? Isn't that part of our, if, isn't our own, that ugliness part of us? If we can't come to terms of our own disease and recognize, you know, when Manson, Charlie Manson once said, he was not wrong about, and I hate to say it, he is a reflection of our society. He said, we created him. He was right. He was a product of institutions. And what did you expect sticking a guy in our institutions over and over? What do you think, he's going to come out like a Gandhi? We created a Frankenstein. Our humanity is a Frankenstein. Is because we consistently separate ourselves, create division, project fear, project hate. And these are all just symptoms from what? Separating ourselves from the reality of the universe, of nature. We've made concrete walls, buildings. We go and move, create a area like in the middle of nowhere, build it up. For example, in some hills, let's say an outside in there where there's never been houses before, and then there's where mountain lions have been living for years and years and years, and then we get upset and want to kill the mountain lion because it came over the hill and ate our cat or attacked our kid. Hello, what do you think? You have to learn to live. We have to learn to live within nature, not against nature. We have to learn, but that's by listening. That's part of listening, part of reacting and getting together with understanding what nature is. not fighting nature. Every time we try to fight, what do you think? A hurricane's going to come and knock the crap out of a coastline. There's going to be a massive earthquake. Then what are you going to do? I mean, you know, even this thing about global warming, people think it manifests as BS, bullshit, crapola, that humanity's actually created global warming. No, they've implemented 95%. Okay? And they projected the sphere consequence and they're manipulating it. When they know the true source of the climate change is what? If that, they know for a fact, but they want to, well, we don't want this discussion, and they'll call it deniers. We're not, nobody's saying denying that there's, and it's absolutely ignorant to deny that there's climate change. That, I'm not even getting into, that's simply ignorant. The cause and effect of climate change has never been debated. The reason why is because if people knew the real reason, they look at, well, wait a second, the whole solar system's heating up. It's not because of CO2 cause and effect. There's weather changing patterns are cause and effect by electromagnetic changes within the patterns within our own realm on Earth, and this is a quantum physical fact. Okay. The energy that is manifesting from the sun is heating our entire solar system. Our whole solar system is heating up. The energy from that, the changing the polarity of our Earth is changing. Doesn't that adjust? That affects the polarity. It's like two magnets pulling around and changing the electromagnetic. And if that electromagnetic changes, it moves around patterns with hot and cold and wind patterns. And I mean, it's major. Okay? It'd be like you're smoking a cigarette. You know, if 1,000 people were sitting outside smoking a cigarette, do you think that's going to change the atmosphere in our solar system, in our Earth? If everybody sat here and started smoking a cigarette and the cigarette smoke went up in there and it dissipated and went up in there, how much do you really think that's going to such? There's going to be a reaction by the Earth somehow to counter that, all right? And if it counters, it's because of something else. Like I said, for every action and reaction. But people need to know the truth. And the reason why they purposely create a fear is part of their symptom, that they've separated us from the universe. Our own thought patterns, the way we think and believe, is projecting out energy as well within the electromagnetic forces. This is a fact. We already know that. If people are angry and upset or in fear patterns, what's that energy going to produce? This is a fact. This is a cause and effect around the world. So the universe is perfect. What we employ also has its elements. Since we're part of the universe, it is a perfection. We have choices. Now, a lot of people are going to think, man, this sounds like, what about victims? You know, I'm sounding really cold. I remember when somebody had given a little talk, and somebody got really frankly worried when I said, and there are no victims, they're only volunteers. Of course, this is a famous saying that actually Jeanette Sinclair had said. And she often said that, sort of funny how, people who say things I remember she used to say 20 years ago, but I don't want to get off tangent. Like, she used to say love and light all the time. Almost 25 years, now I see it all over the place. Thoughts are things, and then people say that. Anyway, the other thing she used to say was, there are no victims. Everybody's a volunteer. And it sounds sort of niche-y, cold, existential. Because people go, what? I didn't volunteer to get abused and raped. I didn't volunteer to have my car broken in. I didn't volunteer to be destitute. Well, in a spiritual sense, we did. In the spiritual sense, we co-create. We create our own lives before we embody them. In our spiritual, before we get into these bodies, before reincarnation, we basically lay out our lives. You pick your mother, you pick your daddy, pick your brothers. Everybody's picked. You already picked, laid out your plan. This is your higher self. This is the truth. And once you pick that out, it's your reaction to these events. The person who got raped, what happened, their reaction. The reaction of the person who created the rape. And of course, that doesn't necessarily, people have choices. You can get into the circumstances and all the person just doesn't do it. Because there's like a co-creation. See, it's a whole mixture. We're all intertwined. So, in essence, like I said, the universe is perfect. You know, there are karmic events that happen. People do choose. These karmic events, when you are getting into your embodiment, you choose both directly and co-corrected. And some of these events are a part of our karmic consequences, too. So the event, they are co-created. I'll give you an example. A rape victim. Let's say somebody who is a raper. He reincarnates, and guess what happens to him or her? They get the karma consequence. They become raped. So you see, there is a circle, until the circle is, of course, broken. And obviously, what would break a lot of these events, too, in this realm? When people would learn to, we have to heal to get there as we raise our vibrations, to listen. And of course, there's many methods that help you outbuild to listen. Some people have utilized listening to tapes and to, you know, chants and to have crystals and to do it through prayer, through listening to tones. These are methods of healing and growing. The chains are elevating our vibrational areas. But again, these are all, like I said, all these events, though, like I prior said, is all about karma. It's all about choices. The universe is perfect. It's our reaction to these events that prevents these very opportunities for healing and our growth. And like I said, if we didn't have a challenge, how would one grow and heal? If you just didn't have to do anything whatsoever, you wouldn't grow. I mean, there's always going to be some sort of challenges. It's meeting up to the welcoming that challenge and meeting it full force. And don't try to push it down. If you push it down, it's going to just come back to you. If you think you've gone through an issue that's pretty negative and you stick it behind you, like some event that was pretty traumatic, even in your own life, if you never deal with it, it's going to come back and haunt you. That's what they refer to, but that's the truth. It comes back and even not this lifetime, the next lifetime. It's because, by the way, our experiences are embedded within us. That's the only thing we take, by the way. You know, when you die, that's what goes with you. All your experiences. That's the baggage that keeps on carrying. And anybody who does properly knows how to do readings will notice that right away. They see their experiences that relate to the person. Sometimes they misinterpret by when doing the reading. They're reading somebody, and they may pick information that's actually from their past lives. And they have to know when not to. Another subject, don't want to get into that. In truth, though, there are absolutely no victims, like I said, only volunteers. Again, that's paraphrase from Jenny St. Clair. And of course, like I said, humanity has made choices. Many, many choices. Like right now, are we going to have a public option or what? How come I keep on forgetting to turn off my cell phone when I'm doing a show? Anyway, see, that was my choice. And that had a karmic consequence. I had to shut the door, and there was a reaction. Now I'm talking about it. Now, in truth, though, like I said, individuals, humanity has choices, so does individuals have choices. And that's whether it's in physical form or out of form or whatever, they always have an element of physical choices or spiritual choices. And like I said before, for every action, there is a reaction. And again, yet, all things do change. So no matter what your situation or how dismal it may seem, it is what it is. It is perfect. Most of us look upon ourselves as simple pawns on a chessboard. But we're not simple pawns because we're all connected one together. We're all one consciousness. We're all, like, almost imagine in your human body, we're all little cells within the body structure itself. We're each one little cell amongst, in our basic human body, for example. That is our soul. That's our minds. Yet we're all connected. We're all connecting. Our DNA is talking back and forth. You may meet somebody that you already know or have met and recognize that. Oh, I have a funny feeling. But everybody is deeply connected. And this is actually not just esoteric hyperbole or a belief. It is now, you know, substantiated within quantum physics that we are all connected. Our thoughts, our patterns, our energy is all substantiated now. But if I get into now into a little bit Kabbalism here, and the esoteric side within Kabbalism of what the universe, like I mentioned earlier about being a 10, there's a representative of a letter called the Yud in Hebrew, which represents 10 in Kabbalah. And Yud is also the part of is God's name, Yud, Yah. You've probably heard Yahweh, Yah, Yeshaddai, Yah. That's God's name. Yerushalayim, God's city of peace. It's the 10th, which is meaning of the universe, which reflects the infinity, the Ein Sof. It is the 10, it's the perfection. As Raziel had said, I'm talking about from Raziel, the archangel, the Hamalach, they had said that the Yud often bows in grace of the perfection of its humbleness. Meaning, the perfection is there in the universe, but it's noted to stand back upon. It doesn't go, oh, look what I just created. You know, look at me with ego. It actually stands back. Part of the humbleness is knowing that it's all perfect. And part of the greatest humbleness is standing back from it. Now, I was going to get another issue just for the note for those people. There's a numerological sequence, too, of 10. I'm just throwing this out there so that people who are listening in there who happen to be born 10s, and they go, wow, 10, does that have something to do with my birthday? Yeah, it does. People who are born 19, 28, 10, their birthdays have that element of energy of a karmic wheel of the universe, also known, like I said earlier, the Wheel of Fortune, which carries an energy of immediate karma, so that, you know, most people, whatever you do, the consequence may not happen in this lifetime, or the reaction, it'll happen in the next lifetime. You know, it's like some may or may not, right? Well, when you're born 19 or 28 or 10, it's like, no, it's going to happen this lifetime. And that's the way it is. So that's just for your info, 411, you can call it. 411, that's in the 6. Anyway, but that's what 10 is, 19, 28, 10, if you're born on that day. So anyway, like I said, it's about the perfection. There's always a reaction. And like I said, it is always in perfection. In the bottom line, within the universe, within the perfection of the universe is the understanding, the deep understanding, that humanity must listen to it, not to shut its eyes and ears to it. And to do so will, humanity continues to shut its eyes and ears and its heart and mind to the universe, but only further the periling events with its symptoms of division, fear, and hate. Of course, the understanding, the simplicity of understanding of love, the universal connection, is unparalleled. It doesn't need any, no matter how many books or speeches or sermons or mounts or chants or chakras or Reiki treatments or pros or websites or crystals or new age, old age, Philly age, whatever age. It's all really, really, really simple. Understanding. And it's the employment of our deep, infinite connection and relationship with our hearts and minds and listening, which must be implemented in place. Or, like I said before, it's the continued further reaction of humanity's pathetic answer of division, fear and hate, as opposed to unity, wisdom, and love, which I would call the path of light. So I'll just recap some information again. Those who you can rehash it again or whatever. The universe, in Kabbalistical terms or esoteric, the universe is perfect. It is a 10, which is, of course, the Wheel of Fortune. The 5 of 5, two hands, Hamesh, Hamesh. Yin Yang, light and dark. It's the not the duality, but the symbiotic of all things, all elements. We're all connected. We're all one, the same. And we all know this from a higher understanding, from our higher self. We are aware of these things. The real is, the world is, the universe is perfect. And is an absolute and is a given. That we will always exist in one form or another. We all are connected in one shape or form to each other, to each element. And for every action, there is a reaction. The constant is change. Things will always change. And indeed, the universe is indeed perfect. Thus, everything is exactly as it is and exactly what was meant to be, thus meant to happen. So, it is like the pondering, the thoughts, the wonder, the swerve of the brush upon the canvas, the artistry, the infinite beauty within the human mind. Such is the understanding, such is the door, the heart, the key, the love, listen, the universe utters the understanding, hence the wisdom. And with that, I want to thank you all dearly for listening to my show. And I want to wish everybody a very, very blessed, love-filled weekend. And do check out, if you're out in Vegas, come out and see me. Like I said, I will be doing my book signing event over in Barnes & Noble bookstore. That will be the last one I do for The Heretic for this year. And that's at 8915 West Charleston. Come on down. We'll see ya. And also, I will close with the lovely song by Angie Matson. Do check her out. And her song is Drive. And with that, I shall drive into another plane, another realm. And God bless y'all. Thank you. And thanks. Thank you.